training camp, you know, he's getting used to playing on the right side. And there, you know, for a left tackle to play on, or a guy that's played on the left to play on the right, a little getting used to. But I think for the most part, he's done a good job.
How's his pass protection coming along? I mean, that was always kind of the, I don't know if there's a knock would be the right word, but, you know, run blocking was a strength. Pass pros coming along?
No, he's doing fine in the run and the pass game. You know, I don't know if we ever knocked him for it. You know, I think because he's a big physical guy that's probably looks more like a run blocker. You know, you might say that, but he's done well, run and pass.
Why did McCoy go yesterday?
I don't know. Nothing serious to my knowledge. Well, we'll see. I think he should be out here today.
Was there a physical issue with him? Or?
Again, nothing. I mean, serious to my knowledge. So he'll be out there. You know, he's just like every once in a while guys miss practice. He was here.
Pat, did the performance of Henry Josie excite you and surprise you in any way?
You know, we weren't surprised by it. You know, we felt like he had that in him, and he did a nice job. You know, we were really short at running back. You saw at the end there we played Damaris, who did a terrific job filling in. And so Henry got more than his share of reps, and he made the most of it.
Pat, when you have a situation like that and you're missing regular guys and guys get an opportunity that maybe they wouldn't have got, how important is it for them to take an advantage of, like, some of the receivers and your short arm on running backs and things like that?
Well, it's very important. You know, in this time of year, you know, if you look around the league, there are certain guys that aren't practicing, whether it be soft tissue issue, you know, injuries or, you know, little things that sometimes keep guys out of games. And so guys that are not necessarily starters getting more reps than they would normally get, they benefit from it. You know, as a player, you need to develop. And the best way to develop is in game reps. And so some of these guys that played, you know, I just mentioned Damaris, heck, he played – 3 different positions for us. You know, that's a huge thing for those guys.
So on Friday, would you say you were disappointed with some of the guys who took advantage of our after, or were you happy with that?
No, the guys that performed in the game, we were happy that they got the opportunities. You know, as a coach, you never want to see a guy miss a game. You know, we'd like to see all the players practicing, training, and playing every snap. But the reality of it is sometimes guys miss. And I think that's what's good about the way we do things. Even when guys are out there and the lines are long, our twos and threes get a lot of reps. So then when the lines get a little shorter for whatever reason, those guys, I mean, it's so valuable for them in their careers.
In the spring and summer, we haven't seen Macklin, Cooper, and Matthews on the field together. Is that a personnel group you need to see before the season begins?
Yeah, that's because of injury, certainly. Had Coop and Mac not been out, then you certainly would have seen it by now.
But Matthews has been mostly with the second team.
But as time has gone on and you've missed some of the practice sessions or training sessions that we've had, Matthews has had a chance to work with Nick.
Do you expect Macklin to practice in full today?
I think he'll be out here doing something. So I don't know. I don't want to talk about injuries. We're talking about the guys that are here. And the portion of practice that you'll see, you'll be able to judge.
Now, is Matthews getting, like, more first-team reps? I mean, I know Brad sat out there the other day yesterday at practice. I mean, is he getting based more on merit or because of injuries?
No, he's in there, you know, really, as Coach would say, you know, we don't have any lineups yet. And so the guys are in there getting their reps. And certainly when Brad's not in there, Jordan gets more of them. But, you know, we're just practicing at this point.
How difficult is it to gain chemistry when guys like, you know, Cooper haven't practiced for a few weeks and Macklin's, you know, off and on the field, you know, with a guy like Foles? How, you know, is chemistry disrupted in any way with not having them out there?
They've had a lot of time together in the off season, and, you know, I think we've still got some time left before we play the Jaguars, and so we're hopeful that we'll get them out there all together at some point.
How did Riley look yesterday coming back, and was that a big test for him?
He looked like he had fresh legs, you know, and he ran around well, actually. He looked actually very good.
The emphasis on the new rules and illegal contact, I mean, is that going to have a significant impact in terms of making it easier to get guys open and hit on plays downfield?
I don't know. I don't know if we've all kind of realized the full effect of the way they're calling it. We're all getting used to the new, you know, the new way that the officials are emphasizing the the bumping downfield. And I think, I don't know. I would imagine if they're calling it both ways, it'll have no effect. But certainly, there's an emphasis being placed on contact down the field. And so if we can get more separation, hopefully that will help.
What kind of a series do you think that'll benefit the new rule change, the new rule on contact downfield?
Receivers, what?
Receivers.
Big, small, fast,
long, large guys who like to.
Big, fast guys benefit from everything, I think. You know, but anytime you can't grab a guy, you know, I think the guys that are less physical, you know, don't have to worry about, you know, playing with somebody hanging all over him down the field.
You've got this depth at tight end. Can you just talk about, you're putting things together, how much that flexibility helps in when you create possibilities with the offense?
Yeah, offense. Well, we feel good about our tight ends, and we play one and two tight ends quite a bit. You know, and we feel like we've got guys there that can play all the way through the unit. So it gives us flexibility. And then that factors in, too, if you have more or less receivers. You know, our guys are somewhat interchangeable in terms of where we can play. We can call a concept, say we can call a 3-by-1 concept, and there could be one tight end in it, two tight ends, or three tight ends, and they just learn what the route is based on the concept. And so, we'll do that as we get – as we start to focus more on game planning and attacking certain things, then that'll be something that we would consider.
I've heard the coaches say over the years that durability is as important as ability. In the case of somebody like Chris Polk, who obviously is talented, does that concern you that he's out so often?
Well, as a coach, you're always concerned when guys miss training sessions because there's so many valuable things that happen each day. It's like going to school and skipping class, and all of a sudden you got a final exam. You know, you certainly might pass it, you know, but there's a chance that you won't do as well as if you've been there every day. And so, durability is something that we consider. And guys get injured for different reasons, but we sure would like to see them out there.
How tough is Brent Celek?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I think he's a 10. I've always thought that. He's one of the toughest guys that we have, and it displays itself and reveals itself in ways sometimes you don't even see. I'm a big fan of Brent's. I think he does everything the way we ask. He certainly can catch a ball in a crowd and take a shot. He's an outstanding blocker, and he's an out of sight teammate. You know, so I think those are the kind of guys you want on your team.
Does Ertz have that ability to be that kind of blocker?
Yeah, I think Ertz he's improved his total game this year. He's blocking well. He's certainly making plays in the passing game. And then he's also kind of being a little bit more multiple in our eyes. You know, we can play in different spots. He's just got a better understanding of what we want to do. And within that, he's working on all the little skills necessary to play the position.
What kind of effect do you think this injury is going to have on Josh Huff's development?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Josh Huff's injury, what kind of effect do you think it's going to have on his development? You've spoken about how important these reps are this time of year.
Yeah, well, getting reps, he's certainly going to miss some reps. But part of being a pro is dealing with soreness, injury. And if you are injured and you miss time, you know, this will help his development coming back from this. And so, you know, anybody that's played this game has gotten banged up or nicked. And there's a process mentally and physically that you go through when you come back from it. And so I think early in his career, he's going to learn something from it.
Really, Ben had the play on special teams. How is he doing on offense?
He's done a good job. You know, he's in there battling like the rest of the guys. He's made some plays. You know, he's taking advantage of his opportunities. And, you know, he is a big physical guy that his, you know, you can feel his presence when he's out there because he's a big guy. And I think that's why he performs so well on special teams. And, you know, I think we're starting to see that on offense as he's getting more and more comfortable with what we do.
In your time as a head coach, as an assistant, what determines whether you keep 5 receivers or 6 receivers on the roster?
Well, I think you got to look at the big picture of what your roster looks like. You know, you got to decide how many positions you know, how many you're going to keep at receiver, how many you're going to keep at tight end, how many you keep at running back, and then we have a number in our mind, and so you might have to go one heavy or one light depending on some of the other positions too. So, you know, some of it has to do with the players at the position and how many we think are pro players and have got a chance to help us contribute. But then also you got to figure in, okay, how many other skilled players do you want to keep at other positions? So at times it can be a fluid number.
Just getting back to the way the officials are calling the game, back shoulder fades become a big weapon in this league, and it seemed like it was headed in that direction and become even more important. If they keep calling things the way they are right now, is it going to have any effect on that?
I don't think so. You know, the one thing about a back shoulder fade is, at least the way we teach it, you're running the route to win. And if for some reason you don't win, then it's sort of like, okay, I see you haven't won and I put it on your back shoulder. You start predetermining those things, then what happens is nobody tries to win. And so I think it's like, you know, when a guy runs a middle read, he's either going to take the post or break it off and run flat. And sometimes when you run flat and there's nobody around, you just stop. You know, and so it's sort of a reaction to a route that you're trying to run down the field. How it's going to have an effect by the way they're calling things, it's hard to say.
Why did you guys move Tobin to guard in the offseason?
Well, he needs to be multiple, and we felt like he needed some work there. He practiced and played last year at tackle, and he's done a good job.
In terms of skill position spots,
is
12 the number that most teams operate with between receiver, tight end, running back?
Yeah, you know, I think it's different per team, but, you know, I think if you look at rosters historically, you could probably do the math and come up with the right number.
Back to tight ends.
Yes.
Could you describe James Casey's skill set and, you know, how he fits into the offense?
James, first off, he's probably got one of the best sets of hands on our team. You see him out there. He can catch the ball extremely well. He's very smart. He's very multiple. He can play attached or detached or in the backfield, which is huge. We can use him as a running back in pass protection and free release the back standing next to him. I can go on. We're going to have to go to practice here. But, and he's a good teammate, and he works hard. And, you know, he's one of those guys as a coach. He doesn't say a whole lot, but when he does, it's usually something pretty insightful. You know, hey, coach, why don't we think about calling it this? Or can we change the signal to this because this signal looks like that? He's a valuable guy.
These few days leading up to, like, the third preseason game, which, you know, everyone kind of says is the most important stuff, do you kind of, like, try to set your rotations, like, for how it would be in the regular season, you know, going into this game?
Yeah, we think that all the games are equally important, number one. Typically, this is the game where the first-line guys play the most. You know, that's probably what you could say about this game. And so, you know, we'll put some first-line guys out there and give them most of the reps. And that's really where we're at right now. And, you know, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen and who's going to play until right before the game.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Good.